just rewatched Zone of Interest, Matt.
No change.
Okay, well, we gave it a shot.
It was odd that you guys were masturbating the whole thing.
I fell asleep during it. I was so bored.
All right, coming in also with five
nominations.
If
you're just coming into the, I loved Zone of Interest. I was.
Me too.
I don't want anyone to think I.
Who's starting at episode two?
I don't have time for one.
This is a binge podcast, not a come in as it's airing podcast.
We're still totally put together.
Yeah, I've only had one glass of wine.
I can feel the wheels coming off this bus already.
I'm on my third glass.
I'm going to tighten up these wheels.
I don't measure by glasses anymore. I feel very restrictive.
I went to the bathroom. I did a booty bump. I'm good.
Good.
You did a booty bump?
I'm kidding.
You put cocaine up your booty hole?
Or Molly. Whatever was in your cabinet.
He wants that Molly bad.
God, stop talking about that Molly.
If we're going to do it, Darren, we got to do it before we get too drunk. We want that like nice pure experience.
Right.
What do you mean if? I'm rolling.
Rolling with the homies.
That's what people say when they're on Molly, right?
You're like, what's her face in Clueless? Like, rolling.
Yes,
yeah,
the
that's
homies.
What
yeah.
Oh my God.
You didn't
God.
Do the hand gestures, though. That's the key to it.
Next movie.
You're just a virgin.
Darren
who
loves
can't
Elton,
drive.
By the way.
I'm tightening up these wheels.
With five nominations. A movie I didn't expect to like so much, The Holdovers. I found it very delightful. I'm not a big Alexander Payne man myself. We did a election way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I enjoyed it. Like, it's fun, but like, it's never like, oh, this is cinema. Mm-hmm. Like, I never get that feeling from him. And this one, like, it had that 70s Hal Ashby feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated it. And I thought
it looked great.
Looked solid. I thought the three main performances were all just spot on.
Go ahead, Darren.
So I am not a big Paul Giamatti fan, although I respect him. I think he is like a real working actor. Like I appreciate him.
As your mother might say, he can be a bit much.
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Oh,
he can
God.
Be a bit much. But I think in this particular movie it kind of worked for me.
I liked him in this movie.
Yeah,
he's my pick for best actor.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can I saw the craft that went into
absolutely.
That role.
Yeah,
and like he is very curmudgeon-y. Even at the end, I would say he's still a little curmudgeon-y,
yeah.
But it's like you can see the change in the
he
character.
He was very believable. Like, I believe, like, of course you work at this school and you're
yep.
like,
yeah.
you smell and your eye's weird and like.
Yeah, I really bought it. I will say.
The eye thing, I thought they did that perfectly. Like the motif.
Yeah, the wall eye looked good.
Yeah. And like the way he's like, by the way, this is the one you should be looking at.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they did that just right.
Yeah.
I want to say. The what's the name of the boy?
The actor or the character?
The actor.
Dominic.
It's his like only movie.
Well, I don't want to just single him out because like I think the whole first 20 minutes or whatever it is with all the other boy actors in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like once the movie gets to just the three of them, I was on board. But there was something weird about the acting styles of like those kids and him. In those first scenes, like it just felt like they had done maybe two takes and he's like, well, we got to use the best one.
Mm.
It's like, I don't know. I didn't like the movie at the very beginning.
You did mention something about that in your Letterboxd review, didn't
yeah,
you?
It was
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It felt really stilted and like, I don't know. I was like, is this how this whole movie is going to be? Cause this is rough. But.
Oh, I didn't notice
okay.
that.
Okay, well,
notice
maybe it
that.
Could have just been me, but anyway, he eventually I thought got really good, and I liked him. Also, Davine
Joy
Randolph
absolutely
killed it.
How good is she?
I walked away from it going, she is my pick. She was so delightful. I loved her story, her delivery. Every time she was on screen, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. She talks about not doing much. Like, she just is on camera and you're like, wow, fascinating.
It's absolute perfection.
The scene where Giamatti kind of like tells off Dominic.
Yes.
And he's like all furious and like Dominic walks off and she goes, you don't tell a boy that's been left behind at Christmas mm-hmm. that nobody wants him around. The way that she delivered it, like, it made me feel bad mm-hmm. that, like, I wasn't already thinking that. Mm-hmm. That, like, I'm watching it, and it's like they're fighting, yeah. and I'm like, oh, characters fight on screen all the time. And then she delivers it with such, like, a no-nonsense, like, why don't you understand this sort of tone? That I was like, oh, shit, I should also be thinking that right now.
Yeah.
I also loved their Paul and Davine's characters,
their relationship was great.
Class blues that sort of.
They weren't against each other. He stood up for her and said, "You will not speak about that woman like that." Mm-hmm. I like that that wasn't a hurdle. That was part of the movie. Like they were right there together. They were peers.
Yeah.
I like that she like she wouldn't let him get away whenever he did pull like a white thing. She's like, okay, sure, whatever. But like, it didn't ruin their relationship either. Like, she was able to call him out, and they could just move
their
forward.
Their moment sitting and watching Love Connection,
yeah,
was just
so cute.
I mean, she was so good. That really, like, when I walked away from it, I went, if she wasn't in that, She made the movie for me.
It'd be a full grade level down if that character and she wasn't playing character was in it.
Yeah,
and
she's
fantastic. You knew that character. You knew.
Yep.
Like you knew.
It could have been very cliched. It could have been very like tokenism, and it wasn't. Like there was life in that character. Oh.
And she like, there's a lot of just looks, she just. And like, what is the word? Like inhabits that character.
Yeah. Really well done. It is a great performance. She will win. She deserves it.
It's you heard it here first.
100%. I agree. I think she will too.
She got the SAG and BAFTA already. So. Yeah.
She won the Golden Globe.
And the Golden Globe.
She's got. I think she's won most of the critics' prizes. Couldn't be happier. She's perfect.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
She's also a trained opera singer.
Yeah. Yes. She's also in Rustin.
She plays Mahalia Jackson.
Yeah.
And she's in Only Murders in the Building, which is a fun little show.
Oh, I haven't watched that, but I've heard good things.
Yeah. She's great in it.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
From what I know of her. But yeah, the movie itself, overall, I thought I came away surprised too. I was like, this is very warm, sweet.
Great costume design, great like art direction.
Yeah. I loved the old timey title cards.
Yeah.
Give me all that.
That's fun. It made you realize like why the sort of like 70s, like I mean Hal Ashby's like he's an auteur, but he's not an auteur the way that you think of like Martin Scorsese or something like that. Like he was a little bit more understated, a little bit like he let the movie do the talking a lot of the times, and I don't know. Like I think Alexander Payne, like really, he captured the feel. He knew what he was going for, and he did it really well.
His movies spoke to that time.
Yeah,
very much about that time.
Coming
period.
Home. Not that you want to talk about Jane Fonda.
Nope,
but
I'm not going to do it.
I've heard that's a great movie. I haven't seen it. Yeah, and there's a line he says when they're in the museum and he's like going through all the history, the civilization stuff, and he's like, sometimes we have to look at the past to find out, who we are.
They're looking at like the pots or the plates or whatever that have like fucking on them.
Yeah.
That's the speech that he gives where he's like, every generation thinks they're the first ones to invent debauchery or responsibility. Yeah.
But that's why he said it in the 70s is like, we're looking back, because the 70s were 50 years ago now.
I don't want to hear that.
So, like...
Almost as old as you, Ryan.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you over the sound of my squeaky Ryan, walker.
Yeah, what were you talking about? Your hip, Ryan?
No, it's my hip.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I think my biggest complaint about the holdovers is that it's just good, not great.
Sure.
Like, Is it one of the best movies of the year? Maybe. I don't know. I think it was just good, not great.
And I do love that it's, without it wanting to be, is it's kind of a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Or a holiday movie. And I kind of like that. A real Bishop's Wife, if you know what I mean.
You know, I never saw that, but I did see a live reading of that.
Hmm.
Yeah. Featuring Jason Rantz, conservative commentator on KNTZZ.
Okay.
Hmm. He's gay, though, so, you know, he's got that going for him.
Hmm. Hot.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Ryan. Like, I thought it was, like, I think it's the type of movie that, like, if you set out to make something great, like, this is, like, as best as you can hope to get out of, like, without having, like, magic involved.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If this movie was directed by someone their first time out, we would be like, oh my God.
I can't wait to see what else.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We call it an auspicious debut.
Mm. Yeah. But then you think of, well, whatever.
We've covered it. Okay. Also with 5 nominations, Anatomy of a Fall. Oh boy, guys, we get to talk about Anatomy of a Fall.
I don't know why he's doing this.
Get together, watch it real quick. 2.5 hour courtroom drama about a unhappy marriage.
Foreign language.
It sounds like you didn't like it, Matt.
It's not that it wasn't brilliant. It's just, isn't life hard enough without having to be like punished with movies like this? Like,
hard disagree.
Oh my God, sign me up.
I've never felt more adult than I did watching this movie and having red wine.
That is kind of my problem. Like, I already feel grown up enough. I don't, like, what happened to Germany or Sweden or wherever this movie takes place?
It's in France.
It's French?
Yes.
Yes.
But the lady is also in Zone of Interest.
But she... Oh, she's my German. God,
did you watch
thing.
The movie?
Did you talk about the language that she's German, he's French, and so they have this commonality in English.
The common language.
You're right. Yeah. Yes, I do remember that part. Yeah,
the use
I'm sorry.
Of
yeah.
language in that I thought know. Was incredible.
I just want to say it's not that I don't think the movie's good. That's definitely not it. But it's just like long week at work. Settling in
with
a movie and it's Anatomy of a Fall. And it's like, I did it right. Like,
get a grip on your life.
In the other room, like sitting attention to the movie. And like, I walked away just being like, I'm just going to slip my wrists. Like, I'm not going to go to bed tonight. I'm just going to throw myself off the balcony and just call it good.
Certainly don't commit a
stay away from the balcony and people will investigate it and find out all the unhappiness I brought
just
the people closest
that in
to
France.
Me
because their legal system will
oh
really
my god I love
you.
Sitting in the courtroom of France. I was like, well, you can just like directly talk
and
to the
guys, the guy that played the prosecutor.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he was good, and I wanted to kill him.
I wanted to strangle him.
I think it's crazy that you can just like directly talk to the person, and they have to sit there and just take it.
It was just, once again, I'm not saying the movie was bad. I'm saying like it was too affecting on me, and just like, especially like once they're like playing like the secret recording just like
I loved that
you brought us here, you wanted the solitude, and now you're too cowardly to like. I was just like, my heart cannot take this scene. And then of course, and Ryan knows this, but like I can't do like animal stuff, like when there's like animals that are sick.
Best dog acting I've ever seen.
I know. I was like, what did they do to that dog that dog to do
in like
that?
The first 5 minutes I was like, if something happens to that dog, I swear to God. Like,
the dog was at the Oscar luncheon though.
Really?
Yeah.
Aww.
The dog's fine. But great dog acting.
Great dog acting.
Too good. Too good.
When he's like, when he's like,
yeah, like
on the ground, like, I was like, my God, what did they do that dog?
But it's just like, okay. I mean, you heard the vivacious things I had to say about the Holocaust movie, and like this movie, I felt was like more of a bummer than Zone of Interest. Like this movie, like actively like brought me down and like made me like unhappy about things.
Yeah, it did that to me too. I loved every minute.
The Holocaust movie did not. Like, that's how much of like a punishment I thought this was.
Wow. I hear you, I suppose. Like, you know, you got to have some of these every year.
All right. Anatomy of Fall, you know, biggest punishment of the year. This is coming from someone who has actively tried to organize an Agnes of God movie night. Like, this is the level of, like, depression that this movie brought upon me.
Wow. And you love, like, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and stuff.
I'm a huge Bergman fan. Like, I love interpersonal dramas.
This had a lot of a Bergman feel, actually.
It's hard to, when you're doing an interpersonal drama like this, it's kind of hard to escape the Bergman label, but it's just like, I think in terms of like, did the cast and crew
achieve? I just watched Cries and Whispers for the first time.
Oh, it's so good.
Really? Yeah. I've never seen it.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
a great one.
My God, that room.
Oh, no, I broke my wine glass.
I was going to say the glass masturbation. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She like smears it on her face.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So good. That actress who's dying, though, my God.
Oh, I know.
Take note. Like, that's how you die.
Always
on
dying
screen.
In a Bergman film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Anywho.
Not saying that it, in terms of like, did they make the movie that they set out to? 100%. Like, craft, acting, all good. How did I feel? Like, what was my just pure emotional reaction? I was like, I'm good not watching that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to, like, subject myself to 2 hours and 40 minutes of, like, taking the most intimate details of someone's life and putting it on trial.
Yeah.
But her just trying to explain...
anything.
What their relationship was, their, like, it just, I loved
and
it.
And defending
I just,
it, you know?
It, yeah, it made, like, wow, like, relationships are really complicated.
And you try to explain or justify things you say to strangers. Like,
this is what... If you at all, sorry to cut you off, but if you ever have a relationship that's not, you know, the generic kind of I'm a man and
yeah,
I'm a woman.
Yeah, they really went hard on that bisexual stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. One of my favorite things about the movie was the opening and closing shots. I think are really great.
What's the opening shot?
The opening shot is the stairs and then the tennis ball bouncing down slowly and then the dog picking it up. But I like that as a symbol of how their relationship sort of like was, you know, it happened in steps.
Declining.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like one big, like that blowout came from all these other resentments.
And you didn't really get to see him until that moment.
Right. Yeah.
Did you also all just thinking that he was like a DJ working on some banger upstairs? Like Caribbean Fitty Cent cover? Like, I was just like, what?
That's like one of the hardest things to defend for her, too. Is like, well, he always listens to music loud. Like, I don't know.
I
like that aspect of it. I like that we're just asked to. I think it's hard to watch her defend that because, yeah, I don't think I could do that for my own weird little foibles.
Yeah, I'm fully willing to admit that, like, maybe I wasn't in the right mindset, but I'm also thinking that, like, I personally don't have a mindset, like, in my deck that can tolerate this kind of movie. It was just... it really just felt like a punishment to me. It's like, oh, we're all trying to navigate relationships in our day-to-day life. Here's, like, the worst possible thing that could happen in terms of, like, having a rocky relationship.
What else is it... what's it nominated for? We've got Best Picture, Best Actress...
Director. Screenplay, which it might win.
Screenplay. Best foreign
editing.
Language film.
Oh,
no.
That's the whole thing about foreign language. It's nominated for editing.
Oh, editing.
So
editing.
France,
I love the editing.
France submitted
Oh, that like
the
cooking
taste
movie.
Of things,
yeah,
with Juliette Binoche,
right?
And didn't submit Anatomy of a Murder, Anatomy of a Murder,
Anatomy of a Fall,
Anatomy of a Fall, and that was you know, highly
that's
like,
right.
Oh,
it was a
wow,
thing.
Like,
yeah.
I can't believe we're, you know,
okay, okay, but I
yeah.
like the editing definitely.
Oh my
I
gosh.
Think it's a good. I think it's a worthy one. And directing, I think, are also worthy nominations.
Yeah, I thought it was a touch dry directing, but I also kind of feel like that's what it needed to be. Like, if there was like a flashy director, I think that would have been a disservice. But
I also just think it's anchored by a
stellar performance.
Lid performance by Sandra Hüller. Like, just.
Also from Zone of Interest.
Yeah. Also from Zone of Interest.
Two chipperest movies of the year.
She might be my pick if I tip my hand a little bit.
Wow. But yeah, so yeah, I'm not saying that it wasn't a great movie, but it was not for me. Like, it was too much in that just, like, that situation that she was going through was like my hell. Like, I'd never want to be in a situation like that.
Me neither.
All right. Anatomy of a Fall. Which brings us into a slightly lighter fare with another 5 nominations for American Fiction. It was fine.
Everyone's looking at me. Yeah. I mean,
I liked it.
Yeah, it was fun.
This is another one where it's like, good, not great. Like,
it was not holdovers good for me, but
I think it was 2 movies, honestly. Like, I either wanted the story of the book or I wanted the family drama, because both felt that there wasn't enough meat on them, and I don't think they complemented each other.
I could have used more of like the story that he was telling in the book. And I felt like we got one little moment of that. I felt like I could have had more of that.
I thought there was going to be more. It only happened once.
I 100% thought that, like, when they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to publish it. I was like, publish what? He wrote one chapter. Like, that was, like, a mindset that I had for, like, 30 minutes in the movie. I was like, doesn't he have to write the rest of the book now?
Yeah.
Because, like, they show, like, one scene from it. And I like that scene with, like, Keith David and everything. And he's, like, interacting with the characters.
No, I liked it, too.
But it really gave this impression that, like, he'd only written, like, that first chapter, and, like, he was sending it off as, like, a teaser to publishers.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, he sat down and wrote an entire book? And I was like, was it all in that one night? Like, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that, like, because we're... And I also think that, like, if you had told those 2 stories separately, you would accomplish the goal that this one, I think, is trying to do, which is just more black stories.
Do you feel like there was too much of the family stuff?
No, I wanted that drama. Like, I like the idea of just focusing on his family drama stuff.
I thought the family was great.
Me too. I didn't think there was
enough there with the sister. Like, I felt like the sister stuff, like, they were building up to, like, make it something substantial, and then they...
I thought it was a joke at first when she has the heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, is this, like, something he's writing? And it's like, no, this is...
Well, that's what happens, Ryan.
I guess. That's how it goes.
Also, I feel like I can speak for everyone when I say we would hit that brother. His brother in the movie.
Nominated. I just don't
the
look
cocaine
at people like that.
The cocaine
oh my gosh.
Snorting.
I was like, sign me up for that beach house. I'd be there.
Hell yeah. What's his name?
Sterling K. Brown.
Sterling
K. Brown, yes. I almost wish the movie was like from his point of view. Mm. And like, Jeffrey Wright was like a supporting character who like... unexpectedly like steps up to the plate and is paying for these healthcare facilities for mom. It's like, where did you get this money? And like at the end it's revealed that he like wrote this book that he's like highly critical of. Mm-hmm. Like,
I do love the scenes where he's with the other novelists trying to figure out.
Yeah, I like the Issa Rae standoff finally. Yeah. That was great.
That was like, because honestly, like,
there was good stuff in there.
The the little like argument that he has with Issa Rae reminded me honestly a lot of like the criticism that Alice Walker gets for Color Purple, where she got criticized like by the NAACP for like perpetuating like stereotypes around like black men and things like that. And it kind of seemed like Jeffrey Wright's character was in that same stance. Like he was making that same argument, but it's like, you know, Alice Walker absolutely has the right to speak to her own experiences with black men. Yeah. Like, you know, and so like, there's just like that hint of like misogyny in their criticism that I thought they addressed in the movie really well.
I like that they left that they didn't tie it up in a nice bow. It's unresolved because it's a continuing problem.
I wish they didn't Wayne's World the ending though. Like, I kind of wish like they had cut to black when he's like about to give the speech.
I was ready for that to be the end of the movie.
I think that would have been a better ending than them. Yeah.
Then the
multiple
different
endings. Yeah.
Oh, I like the multiple endings.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was okay. I mean, I liked the last shot a lot.
I felt like that could have worked better if they took advantage of the other world that was kind of created with the story within the story.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that there is like a whole movie there about just the publishing, and then you can do the comedy and like make it a comedy, and then do like a real kitchen sink drama about the family relationships. Like, we don't dig into it all the fact that Leslie Uggams is a homophobe. Like, she just says it once, and then it's like, well, I guess there's a story there that we'll have to figure out ourselves. Like, that's not fun. I don't know. There just wasn't enough there, I think.
But I thought it was, I appreciated what it was going for and what it was saying about that family and what they were going through.
Yeah. I think.
And I loved Erica Alexander as.
The neighbor.
Yeah. I thought she gave a beautiful, very. Like,
she jumped in real fast on that relationship train.
Oh yeah,
she's like, sure, I'll move your mom into the nursing home.
I do feel like the movie, I didn't have a strong sense of like the timeline, because it really felt like if you like watched it with the sound off, you'd be like, oh, this movie takes place all over the course of like 1 week. If you were just watching the movie, you could believe that. But then like when you're hearing the dialogue, it's like, oh, this takes place over the course of like 9 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they did a good job portraying that, like the time span of the movie. Because I was saying, like, it felt like he only wrote one chapter of the book and then it's off to being published.
That is kind of true now that I'm thinking about it. It was really quick that he wrote that whole thing.
And then like getting the movie deal and Brody has not aged well.
You don't think so?
What?
Ooh, what you say?
He looks great.
I mean, they made him a scummy movie producer, but like, I don't know. I just remember him as Dave Grigowski from the Gilmore Girls when he's like, or from the OC, you know.
I thought Jeffrey Wright was great though.
Oh, yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he was good.
But, you know, I mean, I've been a big fan of Jeffrey Wright since Angels in America, which is like almost 20 years ago.
Yeah. I really liked his performance in, what was the Wes Anderson movie? The
Asteroid City?
No, the
French Dispatch?
French Dispatch.
Yeah, he was good.
I liked his character in that a lot.
Yeah. It was a good movie, but I'm kind of glad that I watched it in preparation for this, because like when I saw the trailer, it looked really fluffy. It looked like the stuff that like they actively criticize, that is just like stuff to alleviate like white guilt. That's what the movie looked like based off the trailer, and then when I watched it, I was like, oh, it's not that. Like it was a relief to know that that wasn't what this movie was trying to be.
As a white person
with guilt.
Good.
With lots of white guilt.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it.
It wasn't alleviated by this movie.
Yeah. So you think this should win Best Picture, all the things it's nominated for, so that you don't have to feel guilty?
I think this should win all awards in perpetuity.
Oh, man.
Going forward at future Oscars. Okay. Yes.
Cool. Wow.
I just want to be the first to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm not
in this house.
I'm not in the zone of interest. Got it.
Okay, great.
But yeah, no, I mean, it was fine beyond that. But I think it's a kind of middle of the road film that's elevated by some like clever moments.
Yeah. What's the director writer's name?
Cord Jefferson.
Cord Jefferson. Give him another shot. I'll watch another movie from him.
Yeah, Hondo P.
Yeah,
he's cute too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, is he?
Mm. Oh. I thought you didn't look at people that way.
I do too.
All right, with 7 nominations, a little film called Maestro. Darren, you look like you have stuff to say on Maestro.
Do I?
Maybe it's because you look like Bradley Cooper.
I don't know if it was that day. I don't know what was going on with me. I enjoyed it.
Oh.
I thought Carey Mulligan was fantastic, and I thought her cancer scenes were just like outstanding. I liked that it wasn't a typical biopic where like, now he writes the score for West Side Story, and now we're gonna... I like that the structure of it didn't follow those...
The sine wave of biopic,
And I think that maybe people that don't know his music or don't know his story might have found that difficult. I personally know about him, and I went in with some knowledge, so I don't know if that affected my viewing of it. But I thought it looked great. I thought the use of black and white with the color
cinematography
for
was
me
spot on.
Yeah, I agree with you there. For that. I'll just jump in and say I agree. I liked the choice to use Leonard Bernstein music in it.
Yeah, I thought it. I was very moved by it. I thought it was a really just a portrait of a marriage that was not your typical marriage of that time. And I loved how strong she was. I loved how she had her own career and she kind of put it on hold. And I thought there's some really beautiful moments where she kind of said like, hey, I understand you.
I don't know if Ryan and I felt as enthusiastically about the movie.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of like, but I totally get it. I mean, I don't think it was perfect, but I don't know wherever place I was in, I was moved by it. I saw it very early on in the theater.
Oh,
It might be different.
Before, like I'd had heard a lot about it. So I don't know if that was part of it. I don't know.
Mm. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think this kind of breaks like the cardinal sin or commits the cardinal sin of biopics, where I also feel like I'm not an expert in Lenny, if you will, but...
You know Lydia Tarr?
Oh, yeah. A.K.A. A Tarr is Born. Thank you, Letterboxd user, whose name I can't remember. I felt like I didn't walk away from the movie with any greater understanding of Leonard Bernstein than I already had.
Yeah.
And
I see that.
And yeah. Like
he was gay, everybody.
I wanted more of him clubbing.
No.
I was like at the end when it's like him at like
sweaty and
yeah, oh my god. Where's this story? I don't. It's not a great movie, but in Mank, he talks about it like it's impossible to encapsulate an entire life story in 2 hours. The best you can do is hope to give the impression of that at the end of 2 hours. And I don't think this movie met that criteria.
Yeah, I don't think it even did that.
Like, there was some cool stuff, like when he was conducting Mahler's Eighth, like in the cathedral, like the big, like... brutalist church or wherever they were at. great stuff. Loved it. But and a lot of the little tidbits of information of him like sleeping with Aaron Copland and Jerome Robbins and all that stuff at like early stages in his career. Fun. But it's like at the end of it, I was like, I don't think I have any greater understanding of who Leonard Bernstein, Steen, whatever it is, than I did going into the movie. And I think that's like the cardinal sin of a biopic. Like, you should walk away being more interested in a person, not like feeling like you already know it.
I would argue and say I didn't know about his marriage. And I didn't know about that relationship. And that's the thing that I guess I kind of walked away from being kind of like inspired. I don't know if that's the right word, but like...
You also want a marriage of convenience?
Well, but that was part of that way back then. And that the way that a woman handled herself and... understood her husband, who was, you know, this genius and, you know, all this stuff. I thought that was really interesting. And I thought that, you know, that last scene where she walks out because he touches the younger boy's like
thigh
and says, and almost as like a, that was usually her role. Where she got to be the supportive one in public. And then she says, nope, that's like, I'm not doing that anymore.
I think.
And walks out.
Yeah. I
guess that's what I learned.
I think that's the more interesting story. Like, I think that it's clear that this was written by Bradley Cooper so that he could play Leonard Bernstein. And we don't get those. Like, I'm just thinking of it now, and I think that what's the wife's name? I don't remember her name.
Felicia.
Felicia's story is actually kind of an interesting one.
Yeah.
But it's not hers, it feels like. It feels like it's all about, I got to get this Oscar.
That's so funny. I felt like we got so much of her. I get, maybe that's what I was surprised about, and that I was... intrigued about that we're like seeing so much of her.
It was frustrating though too, because this is a, you know, all the problems they were having could have been fixed with like
a discussion.
Yeah, like, well, if you get to fuck people, I should fuck other people too. Like, she never takes that on.
Yeah, listen, but just because you've been in a polycule,
but
just because,
but
you're
also
very,
you're
progressive,
looking at in a 2024 lens. Like,
you're projecting 2024 values onto a 1940s
like,
story.
Yeah, but it's like.
Also, okay, Ryan Murphy, just keep your values to yourself.
I mean, there wasn't any more to it than, like, happened if we had a good discussion. You know, like, I mean, it is all time and place.
Zone of Interest is just one big, like, screwball comedy, actually. Like,
you could make it that way, like Clown Noises is
all
the sound design.
All the doors closing.
We could have made it with Astaire and Rogers, and it'd be the same movie.
My God. I misspoke. Let me try and say this better. It just felt like the movie was, did you know Leonard Bernstein was gay?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good way to put
and
it.
And it's like, yeah.
Oh, but I already knew that. Like,
exactly.
That's already...
Also, I liked the way the black and white looked. I don't like the choice that they did to do it that way. Because that was a part in the movie where it was all about them finding that gray area of like, maybe we can exist in this area. But to me, black and white...
Oh, it's too literal.
Yeah, black and white tends to either be... There's a clear cut or...
All right, Roger Deakins, just slow your
roll
here.
I don't know, it didn't work for me. I was like, this isn't giving me the... What I think they're trying to convey.
You didn't like the the actual usage, like the way that they used it.
Right. Because
like
it looks amazing.
I was going to say the movie like is getting praise for its cinematography, and I feel rightfully so on that.
Yeah, I agree.
My problem was like, one, I think the script was a little weak.
Mm-hmm.
I also, Bradley Cooper looked the part very well. Like the hair, makeup, wardrobe.
Incredible makeup.
There was something about his voice, like the way that he delivered the lines, was it was a little uncanny valley for me. Like it was very close
to Leonard Bernstein. Yeah.
But like all I could hear was the differences between his and the real voice. So it like every time he talked, I was just like, oh, this isn't actually him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It kind of took me out of his performance a little bit. And then, when that happens, you just start thinking, like, oh, this is a vanity project. He's doing this for the awards. He wants that, like, legit thing. He got real close with A Star Is Born, and now he wants to get all the way there. But, yeah.
Yeah. I will say, I think it's fine. Like, the movie has every right to exist. And I think if I wasn't watching it with the lens of, like, of thinking of it as an Oscar contender, if I had just watched it, you know, one day on a Sunday on the couch, like, I might have enjoyed it more.
If there's one way to get Ryan to watch a movie, tell him it's a good hangover movie. Because then he's, like, guaranteed to watch it in the next, like, 20 days.
Yeah, I have a drinking problem, so.
I'm trying to think of a Jane Fonda movie that's a good hangover.
Oh. It's Coming Home? I haven't seen it yet.
The Morning After, maybe.
Oh, okay.
You can watch some of her later stuff where she's like a supporting actress, like This Is Where I Leave You or something. Oh, like, okay.
Oh, that's a fun one.
I wanted to like it more. And just...
Can I say one more thing about Maestro that I hated?
Please.
The moment that I really got off board with the movie completely was at the very end when he's pulling up in the convertible and he's playing the REM song, This Is the End of the World as We Know It, and it just plays the Leonard Bernstein lyric. Get that out of my movie. I would walk out of the screening room if I was working on the movie. I'd say, I quit.
Okay.
You lost me.
Wow. Hot take.
I'll take my final paycheck. That's all. I just want to get that off my chest.
All right. Now we are on to a movie with more nominations.
Is everyone disappointed with this podcast so far?
It's a little low energy.
I know.
Do we want some coffee?
No.
I feel bad.
Why?
It's okay.
Don't worry. There's four hours to go.
We'll bump it up.
We're barely scratching the surface.
Yeah.
I'll get some more wine.
No, I'm sprinting to the finish line with you. And I have like 8 more bottles left, so.
Great.
Don't feel the need to skip.
Yeah.
It's more just
that
Ryan's... We
have 8 hours of recording to
Ryan's just being a teetotaler. It's just throwing us off our rhythm, that's all.
I have a drinking problem.
Ryan didn't do the mollies, not on our wavelength.
Oh.
Wait, you did it too?
Yeah, when you weren't looking.
Damn.
That was me pretending I'm asleep.
I was going to say, we haven't even broken out the poppers yet. That's when the party really gets started.
Oh, my. I think we can't compare ourselves to last year. This is this year.
Well, I'm going to give you shrooms, you'll do poppers, and then we're all going to gather on the couch to watch Remains of the Day.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, is that what's
such
next?
Such a good movie.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you
what?
Oh, it's so good.
Wait, is that the one where Anthony Hopkins is a butler?
Yes.
I've seen about a third of it.
It's so good. And then he gets Alzheimer's and dies? No, wait. I actually did watch The Father like 2-3 days ago, something like that. Because I didn't watch it during that year's award season, and Ryan always threw me off track. He's like, he just gets Alzheimer's and dies. And for some reason, I chose to like take his snarky comments to heart.
Sure.
But I was
as
like,
opposed
no.
to my comments about it.
And I was like, no, I should listen to Darren, the one who's watched it. So I watched it this week, and it's really good.
Oh. Yes.
Did he get Alzheimer's?
He didn't. He has it at the very beginning.
Oh, well, see, that's different.
But it's told in a really, like...
It walks this really fine line where, like, you sympathize with his situation. You're like, oh, I can see how frustrating it would be to be living with this. And, like, why he tries to, like, play it cool when he forgets something. It's like, oh, of course, yeah, you've been divorced now for 8 years. I forgot, you know. But then it also is, like, it doesn't cut him any slack. And you fully understand people's frustrations with him.
And it's, like, strangely, like, not a thriller, but it's
there's scary moments, though.
There's, like, a weird, scary... With that apartment, the design of the apartment was nominated for production design for a good reason.
And, well, because...
Sorry, we talked about it.
While you're watching
yeah, we probably did.
As the viewer, like, you're confused. You're like, you don't know if it's his flat or Olivia Colman's flat.
Yes.
And you don't, like, as the viewer, you don't know what year it is.
You're vindicated now?
Yeah.
No, it was...
All right, I'll go watch it. God.
Just remember Brooklyn... Ryan.
Oh, I loved Brooklyn.
And yes, how Darren and I were like, that was really good. And you're like, it looks so bad, though.
Yeah. I loved it.
It was just, I was truly, like, sucked in with Father.
Yeah.
And just, like, it's not like he has episodes. Like, the whole movie is, like, one ongoing episode that he's having. And, like, the viewer doesn't know what year it is or whose flat this is. And it was just, and, I mean... Also, like, if you love just, like, a good act-a-thon...
Yeah, I already talked about all of this, like, 3 years ago.
Was that the year where they gave out that Anthony Hopkins won, and it was supposed to be...
It was the last
best actor.
It was supposed to be Chadwick Boseman. Yeah. It was the last award. It was... You put Joaquin Phoenix in that position.
That's so terrible.
It's also like, A, Anthony Hopkins wasn't even there to accept the award.
No. Oh, no.
But two, I think that overshadows what a good performance from Anthony Hopkins it was.
It's his best performance. It's a fantastic performance.
And it's just, it's him and cinema's two greatest Olivias, Colman and Wilde. And it's just like... When you want acting, you're just like, this is the movie. My cup runneth over with this. Wow. Don't signal to him like I told him so. Ryan hasn't watched it yet.
True. Ryan, I'm not looking at you.
I feel like I'm getting piled on this time around.
You got
around.
Pariah for a movie we weren't even supposed to talk about.
God.
I just, no. That was one of the movies. Because I also watched Everything Everywhere All at Once and Tar again. Because I wanted to see how... these movies stacked up, like this year's Academy nomination stacked up to last year's. And truthfully, I don't think any movie gave me the complex combination of emotions that those two movies
agreed.
Did. I think we were really treated last year to some really like top tier movies. And I don't want that to go unappreciated. Oh. Yeah.
I mean, I agree.
Oh.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because I think at one point last year you said, like, this was a great year for movies. Mm-hmm. And I think it really was, like, between Everything Everywhere at Once, Tar, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, which I know you haven't seen.
I haven't watched yet, but it's,
Bones and All was a great movie.
I love Bones and All.
There was another one in there where I was like, shit, there was a lot of really, like, top caliber movies last year.
Yeah, Bones and All I really love because... I don't think there's, like, a specific, like, gay analogy that runs through the whole thing. Every scene kind of uses gay, straight, genderqueer, like,
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
Highly recommend. It was really good. Yeah, the score was amazing.
Like, there's some scenes where it's, like, you know, eating people could be just seen as sex. And then there's different scenes where it could be fluid bonding. And then there's other scenes where it could just be, like... romantic, like it's not the same thing in every scene, and they just play with like queer dynamics all through the movie in just different ways, and like just looking at it through that lens is really rewarding.
I also liked living in their world. I got really caught up in the fact that like all these eaters had really good style because
Timothy
like,
Chalamet in his blouses.
Yeah, well, because they're like they go to those people's houses most of the time. It's like you can raid through other people's stuff, and it's like you get exposed to all sorts of different ways of living and styles and things. So it's like you start to accumulate your own style based on that.
Eating at some point could be seen as HIV or AIDS, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Like, because it takes place in like 1988, something like that. But and the fact that Chalamet is frequently like wearing blouses as like a men's top, mm-hmm. like it plays in like the genderqueer sort of trans elements of like what his character could be. Like, I thought there was a lot in the movie outside of just like cannibals on the run from the law, you know? Yeah.
Recommend it.
Yeah. I've seen it twice now, and both times was just super rewarding.
Next year I'll have watched The Father and you'll have watched Bones and All.
That's a fair compromise.
Done.
So anyway, Maestro.
Back to this year's Oscars with 8 nominations. Barbie.
Barbie. Oh yeah, I'm leading the conversation on Barbie. Well, what I personally feel that Barbie was okay. Like, I didn't think that. I rewatched it. It's the only one I've watched twice of the Best Picture nominees, just because I wanted a refresher on it and it was streaming. And I feel like we spend a lot of time fixing Ken's issues for a movie called Barbie.
So you still think it's like male-centric?
It feels like it's a little more male-centric than it needs to be, I felt. I also feel like it's wildly uneven. Like, there's parts that are really great, but then you also get parts like where Will Ferrell's like chasing her through the office building, and it's like, this is going on for far too long for my taste. And I just don't think the message is strong enough.
What do you think that message is?
Yeah, exactly. I think...
No, I'm asking you.
Yeah, well, I think that... you know, it's bound to get criticism because, you know, like a feminist blockbuster, it has to be every woman kind of thing. Like, it has to speak to everybody. But, like, I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Hold on.
It's that Molly.
It just felt like it made an argument for itself that we just need more of this. This is a first draft. Go ahead.
I think I'm going to say something that probably people are not going to like.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a really nice film for a simple audience. And
yeah,
I thought it spoke a nice message. It looked great. It sounded great. But most people could understand it.
You know.
And that's not a bad thing. I just think that that's what it was. And if we just get into kind of like the black and like the writing on the wall,
yeah.
Is that it got people into the theater.
Yeah.
This is this year's Top Gun Maverick.
And yeah. And that's really cool. That's really great that it got people back into the theater.
Except I like Top Gun Maverick.
And I do applaud it for that. I do applaud that, like, people came in and dressed up and had, God forbid, a good time.
My experience seeing it was great.
Yeah,
and so I think that it does need to be applauded for that. And I think that that's a great thing. It got people back in the theater. We've been through the whole crazy pandemic. The theaters are not back from that,
especially in Seattle.
So I appreciate it for that. Do I think it's the best movie of the year? No. Is it the most subtle movie of the year? No. No. Did I have fun? Yes.
Yeah, because I saw it like maybe not opening night, but like maybe second,
yeah,
or something. Me and the boyfriend were the only ones in the theater not all in pink. Like,
what?
Yeah.
Why didn't you dress up?
Pink? God,
I actually don't own any pink, so
then you buy some.
But see, that's great. I think that that's really...
Lay down. You'll be fine. I mean, it was a sold-out showing. Like, we had to sit, like, in, like, front row, like, corner seats. It was packed. It was filled with young people. Like, we were, like, the oldest people, like, by a fair shake.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, they all loved it. They were laughing at stuff that we were not laughing at. Like, some of the jokes definitely fell flat with me. But, you know, I think it hit the demographic that they were going for. Like, high school, college-age kids went to the theaters, saw this movie often multiple times. That creates a permission structure for the younger siblings to then want to buy Barbies, and the parents are okay with Barbies then because it's... popular, the older siblings are into it, and like I think it did that all very well, but it is a little like, yeah, feminist theory 101 movie. Like, really, like, if you're well, if you've ever used like hashtag free the nipple, like, this movie's gonna be seen as, like, you know, juvenile to you, or insufficient for women's lib, you know.
Yeah.
This is not the fourth wave feminism wave that we thought, or we some people are making it out to be.
Yeah, and it can't be. Like, we can't expect this movie to be all things to all women, like, and still, like, be a big budget moneymaker, you know? Like, there's just no way to project all that onto, you know, and I think that that's a... interesting that it's a movie about a doll that, like, you know, we tend to project what we want onto dolls. So
I mean, I think that there's like two things going on, which I think is true with Oppenheimer. Like, there's the movie, and then there's like everybody's like reaction to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, do the two things exist separately, or are they always together? And I think what I'm hearing is, like, we're really responding to, like, the reception response, to it, yeah. The response. And again, like, that's part of, I guess that's part of a movie, I guess.
But the movie itself, I think, is really just okay.
Yeah, if I'm just looking at the movie, like, movies, like, I had a good time. Yeah. Great production design. I mean, the production design is great. The costumes are great. The wigs are great. Like I had a good time.
Yeah. And it got us to the theater.
Yeah. End of episode 2.
I don't know. Did you ever play with Barbies as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Did you make Kens kiss each other?
So... I always had a friend who used to bite off the toes of the Barbie. And I always remember her going like this. Like, biting it and going...
Good story.
Yeah.
Well, that was it. Okay.
And then one time we were at my friend's house, and my brother made Ken and Barbie in bed together, and she got really mad, and he had to go home.
Is your brother straight?
My brother's gay.
Okay.
Really?
But, yes.
Is he single?
Is it okay to out him on this podcast?
I guess.
Does he have your hair?
Sorry, I shouldn't have asked that.
He does not have my hair. He is single. They told us.
And how old is he?
He has a little bit of Ryan's hair-ish.
Yeah. Oh, boo.
No, that's not good.
Yeah, never mind.
You don't want that.
Take back follow-up questions.
Anyway, so Barbie for Best Picture, right?
Yeah, have it win. Sure.
Oh. Whatever.
Wow. Darren, hot take. Hot cynicism.
I didn't get to say this earlier. Margot Robbie.
Robbie.
Is it Robbie? I believe you.
I believe it's Robbie.
Margot.
Say Robbie. Sure.
Be different.
Margot Robbie. I loved the scene when she's on the second viewing. I really loved the scene when she goes to the high school and talks to the kids, and she's like, hi, yeah. I'm here to, yeah. Ta-da. Like, I'm like, give her a nomination for that alone. That was great.
I'm Barbie.
Yeah. Hello. I loved it. And I loved it when she, like, sits down and her legs are extended and she kind of just falls over like a Barbie would fall over. Like, stuff like that. I don't know. I thought that was great. That's all.
Okay.
Why don't you have any pink things?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's really like...
Okay, yeah. We can stop, actually. Do you want to stop?
What hour is it?
We have 9 minutes left on this hour.
Yeah. Let's pause it at the end of Barbie.
We'll stop. We'll take a pee break.